guys asked me what my perfect night would be, I told them the truth. Beer and board games. They thought I was kidding. I was not kidding.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Personal Arrogance Podcast, episode number 129. I am your host, Jesse Wilson, and with me this week, as always, is...
Eric Walquist. Thank you for listening, listener.
Thank you. Of course, we are always brought to you by the Bald Move Network. Check it out, baldmove.com.
BM.net.
That's a totally different website.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
That was a little bizarre. How you doing, Eric?
Doing great. How was your weekend?
I'm trying to remember.
I hung out with you.
Oh, that's right. Look, I got sick this week.
Yeah,
it's like a wall in my memory. All I can remember is feeling miserable yesterday.
Well, it happens to the worst of us.
And the memory of you hanging out from the weekend doesn't have trample.
It's completely, yeah,
it so doesn't it doesn't get through that 1-4 wall in my memory.
Excellent.
Yeah. Sorry. No, I had a good weekend.
Yeah, it was a good weekend. You know, we found our Super Bowl contenders. It is going to be the Har Bowl.
Yep.
And
did you know they're brothers?
If I needed any more incentive not to watch, that would be it.
Yeah. Well, you can't, so you won't.
Yeah, but I mean, rooting for the Ravens.
Yeah, I gotta go. Craving some Raven victory.
The Ravens.
Yeah.
I do kind of like the fact that it's East Coast versus West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm rooting for East Coast, so it doesn't really matter.
How pissed off do you think the Ryan brothers are?
Which Ryan brothers?
Rex Ryan, and he has a brother?
He does have a brother, and they're both AFC and NFC. Although I think Rex Ryan just got fired.
Probably.
Yeah. The Jets did
great
this
year. Probably pretty pissed off.
Yeah. Sports talk.
Yeah, you're listening to KBON, the sports talk station on the bone.
The bone. Well, speaking of sports, I'm going to get right into the dedication this week. I'm going to dedicate this episode to none other than Steve Ballmer. For a number of reasons. First of all, he's Microsoft's most energetic employee.
Mm-hmm.
He's also Microsoft's baldest employee.
Mm.
For the Bald Move Network. And third, he is part of the ownership group that just bought the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, and how much did they end up spending on that?
Well, the total price is $525 million, which is the biggest price tag for any basketball team ever.
Yeah, aren't they paying, like, way too much?
Well, not really, because the Maloofs are still keeping, like, 35%. So you basically take 35% off of that. And then that's what they're actually paying.
Okay.
There is a lot of, you know, if we have any listeners from Sacramento, I feel your pain. We had our basketball team stripped away from us, but it also made me completely jaded to the whole process, and I'm totally fine with it now. It's kind of a bummer, but...
Are you gonna like watch Sonics games?
Oh, I'm definitely gonna watch Sonics games.
Okay.
I've already been trying to follow the Kings, although they have no players I've ever heard of. so that's a little difficult. And they're in like third from last place. So they'll fit right in here in Seattle.
Yeah, they will.
But yeah, the Sonics are making their triumphant return. I heard some Blazers fans were talking some smack, saying that they're not going to be the real Sonics. Whatever, they're Blazers fans.
Won't the Sonics like share the victory with Oklahoma?
Don't
they have a shared title or something?
They do have a shared history, but okay. I think that only goes up until Clay Bennett bought. The Oklahoma City Thunder. I don't think it goes into the future.
Well, I don't know. It sounds like there's 1.5 Sonics teams right now.
I kind of like that idea. Like, if the Thunder win the championship, we technically win the championship.
Yeah.
Because we have a shared history. That sounds good to me. Let's do that.
Yeah, let us.
But yeah, we're getting our basketball team back, so I'm happy. Mm-hmm. I feel bad for Sacramento, but root for the Bay Area. I know you guys are all 49er fans anyway, so just root for the 49ers.
There you go.
Lettuce eaters. I don't need to rub it in.
Is there a San Francisco basketball team?
Yeah, the Golden State Warriors. Probably the coolest name of any team ever. Because they're not.
That's an NBA team?
Yeah, the Golden State Warriors.
Wow, I didn't even know that team existed.
Well, what are you going to do? They got the Warriors, they got the Clippers, and the Lakers. So don't worry about that, guys. I don't know. But yeah, this one goes out to Steve Ballmer.
There you go.
So, J-Dog, what are you drinking this week?
Oh, I just finished a nice warm mug of chai green tea.
Oh, I thought you were going to say chai wheat beer from Pyramid Brewing Company. I was like, well, what is your problem?
Well, it's good if you have it warm. You just got to heat it up.
Yeah, put a little milk in it.
Yeah, it's a nightcap. No, I'm not really drinking right now.
Yeah, that's probably a good thing.
Because I'm sick.
Yeah. Well, although I find just a not you don't have to do it internally. I just do like a whiskey IV, or you know, find another way to get in your body. And
that,
really,
yeah, it keeps you from going into withdrawals.
Exactly. Really, just gets that blood boiling. Is a risk of sepsis, but I hear Lance Armstrong's doctor is really good at preventing that.
Yeah, I have him on call.
Yep. This week I'm drinking just your standard Sierra Nevada, pale ale. Sierra Nevada from Northern California. So don't hate everything. Yeah, it's Sacramento, man. I feel like I'm being very insensitive. I just feel like I'm so jaded by this whole thing. Like the Sonics leaving town left me so jaded. And like right now, you know, Sacramento, like the mayor saying, we're finding investors, and then now the investors are saying they're not letting us buy the team, and they're like, well, we already sold the team, so you can't. It's like walking in the Best Buy and being like, hey, that guy just bought an Xbox 360. I'll pay you the same price for it. And it's like, no, we already sold it to that guy. We can't sell it to you. and it's this whole thing, and it kind of bums me out because we've seen it from Seattle. Like there was a whole thing of like trying to find investors here, and then like trying to get an arena deal flushed through and just nothing happening and then just being ripped away. So I feel bad for Sacramento, but at the same time, I'm really happy to get the Sonics back because, and the fact of the matter is you got to be a little bitter by the whole process. So you got to get your team whichever way you can. Anyway,
there you go.
There you go. Seattle Sports Talk. I know that's what everyone came here for. So I guess we're going to get to some listener mail. How does that sound?
Let's do that.
All right. Speaking of Seattle, Michelle W. went ahead and sent us an email, personalarrogance@gmail.com, said, I recently discovered you through the Because Show and have been slowly catching up on your episodes. You guys are great and make me miss Seattle. I love your banter and strange but relevant topic choices. Thank you. I just listened to the episode where you bring up the Mafia. And was wondering if you've ever heard of the Queen Anne Mafia. Apparently, there's a group of teenage kids who like to spray paint ECK all over Queen Anne and throw fruit at the private school up the hill. Anyway, keep up the great podcasting and drink some great Seattle coffee and beer for me. Preferably at the same time.
Sounds like some real tough kids.
Sound like super tough kids. If there's one thing I've learned from my theater days, it's to keep away from people who are throwing fruits and vegetables.
Wow.
Wow. What?
You can take that act on the road.
I know, man. Yeah, I haven't heard of the Queen Anne Mafia. Sounds pretty baller.
Yeah, stay away from that. That neighborhood, Queen Anne, is really dangerous.
Queen Anne's super dangerous. There's a lot of fabric stores.
Uh-huh. There's hills.
There's a hill. There's a giant hill.
Uh-huh. Which I biked up once by mistake.
Yeah.
Didn't know you could go around it at the time.
Yeah, there's actually a really easy way around it. But,
yeah.
Also, propensity of used bookstores, and I believe there's also a Metropolitan Market. Just the type of place you don't want to bring the kids.
Yeah.
You know.
Steer clear. Take them to family-friendly Pioneer Square.
Yeah, family-friendly Pioneer Square, where you might get secondhand crack exposure. and we also got a phone call. We got a few phone calls this week. But good buddy Mitch gave us a call, and here's what he had to say.
Hey, guys, this is Mitch, big-time listener of the Personal Arrogance podcast. I just had to stop your latest podcast and call you guys because the Star Wars Rogue Squadron TV series blew my mind. And I am thinking that it needs to be something along the lines of a Battlestar Galactica feel, and I think it would be awesome. So keep up the good work. Love your podcast. Yeah. All right, peace out.
Get off my back.
Get off my back.
Thank you, Mitch. We always love when Mitch calls, and we especially love it when he calls twice because it's twice as nice. Mitch decided that he had more to say, and here it is.
Hey, Eric and Jesse, this is Mitch again. I totally forgot to mention that if you guys are into a continuation of Star Wars and you like Legend Tillies, you need to be reading the new Star Wars comic that just came out just about 2 weeks ago, and it has a continuation from right after New Hope. It's got Wedge Antilles in it. It's got sort of a little bit of Rogue Squadron in there, but it's great storyline. You guys should start reading that now. So there's a tip for you guys, count tip. All right, stay arrogant.
Get off my back.
Get off my back.
That's actually really interesting. So that is a comic book that is... It basically forgets that episode 5 happened, episode 6 happened, or any of the prequels happened, and just picks up right after A New Hope left off, and then just creates its own story.
That's pretty dope.
Which I kind of love it, because I feel like we all love Boba Fett. We love him so much. But it's kind of interesting to get into a universe where he doesn't exist and see where... I feel like he's just kind of dominating. And like when they decided that all stormtroopers are clones of Boba Fett, that's when I was like, come on, guys. It's like these people's lives are so intertwined. I can't believe how intertwined. That Darth Vader built C-3PO in his spare time. And like...
That's true. You have a whole galaxy.
A whole galaxy
of
people. And for some reason, these same people keep running into each other. It's like that nose picker on the bus. You just keep seeing him.
The whole rebellion and war and everything is actually all just made up to keep these people occupied.
Right.
Just to keep them busy while the rest of the galaxy can go about their
business. Yeah, there's like 12 people. They have magical powers. So they can drive this war for them to fight in. So they could just cape off of backs.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to mention Mitch was too shy to gloat, but he does have a brand new podcast. We don't talk a lot about comic books on this podcast, but he's got a podcast that's all about comic books. It's called Comic Sans. It's brand new, and you should check it out on iTunes if you want more comic news. And they come at it from very experienced comic book readers, and then there's some brand new ones on there, so you can get in at all levels if you're interested in comic books.
Nice.
So I'm going to stump for him since he gave us a call. And we got one more phone call. This one's a little more mysterious, but here it is.
Hey, Eric and Jesse. Hope you guys have a great day, and I like you guys' show. Take care.
Get off my back.
Get off my back.
That was nice. Is anonymous? It's a 619, so I believe that's San Diego.
Oh.
If I'm not mistaken, I might be mistaken. But mystery caller, thank you so much for calling, and we love your kind words.
Thank you.
So that's listener feedback for this week. We got some more stuff on our Facebook page, but I'll hit that at the end of the show. And now I think it's time to do a little Tiny Matt roll-off. What do you say?
I'd say let's do it.
Okay, we are each going to roll a 20-sided die to see who gets to speak first on this week's podcast. And here we go. What'd you roll?
I rolled a 5.
I rolled an 8.
Oh, bummer.
So as many of our listeners know, we had some technical difficulties. That's why we're releasing this podcast a day late. I thought that our mixer had died, but it probably didn't.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle it did not die. Did not prevent me from buying a new mixer. and I also got a new microphone, and I got a new a spit guard. A new foam guard, which was great because I've had the same one ever since we started podcasting.
Ugh.
And in the past 2.5 years, let's just say I've seen zombies that I'd rather kiss.
I don't know. The thing is, it turned from red to white.
No, it turned from blue to white.
Or blue. Turned from red yeah. to blue to white.
Yeah, and then...
how do you turn it white?
I don't know.
You have, like, bleach breath.
I'm just... I do. I'm just saying that I think that they should rub that on all babies' faces to make them immune to everything that could possibly be. Because that foam guard is probably one of the most disgusting things.
It's got swine flu. It's got bird flu. It's got monkey pox.
Oh, monkey pox for sure. That was the worst week of my life. So anyway, I got a bunch of new crap. But we had to postpone a day, and it's almost a great thing that we had to postpone a day because – nerd news exploded all over Jesse's face. And,
yeah, it did.
And we got blown up from I'm gonna call him an all-star listener, John O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
John O'Brien sent us a karaoke kit, and it's awesome. So we'll break that out. But also Jimmy Hall. Jimmy Hall also did it. We got listeners all over telling us about this grand news. And I'll cut to the chase. J.J. Abrams is going to direct Star Wars Episode 7.
Yeah.
That is huge.
What's your takeaway on this?
It's weird. Like, first of all, it's mind-blowing to me. And the only reason is because J.J. Abrams is directing the Star Trek movies.
I know. Crossover.
Well, I mean, so J.J. Abrams has this kind of mythos that he controls. And it's tied together very loosely, but there are ties to it, and it kind of goes in two different levels. So first of all, there's this corporation that he created called Tagruato. The only reason I know about this is because I got super into Cloverfield viral marketing back in college. I know that right. Everybody else did, so I don't need to explain that. But but he created this company called Tagruato, which is like a Japanese company. And people may know it's more famous drink Slusho, and Tagruato and Slusho make appearances in a number of J.J. Abrams properties. He didn't direct Cloverfield, but he produced it, and it's got a big presence in that movie. The main character is actually going to work for Slusho in Japan, but on Fringe they drink Slusho. Drinks on Fringe, and there was actually a Tagruato building in the original Star Trek movie in San Francisco. It has the Tagruato logo on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying that J.J. Abrams is going to deface the Star Wars franchise by putting Tagruato and Slusho in there, but he does have a way of connecting his properties. And the other way that he does this is through monster creation. All of his monsters kind of look the same. If you look at the monster from Cloverfield, the monster from Super 8, and the monsters that were in the original Star Trek movie that he directed, they all have very similar characteristics. They're kind of like, it's hard to describe. They're like, they look like Rancors, but they have like longer arms and legs.
Yeah, kind of gangly.
Yeah, maybe they are Rancors. Maybe it was,
there it is.
Yeah, it was this homage to Star Wars all along.
Uh-huh.
But it's just kind of mind-blowing to me because he is the Star Trek guy, and you wouldn't think that you'd have the Star Trek guy doing the Star Wars as well.
Yeah.
Do you think that this could possibly bring the two fan bases together? Put on
the
pizza.
I don't think that the fan bases are all that distinct anyway.
Okay. I think they are.
Well, I mean, everyone has a favorite, but I feel like everyone kind of grew up watching both.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think what they should always do, I mean, since the creation of the internet,
mm-hmm.
there has been ongoing debate.
Right.
Two ongoing debates. One, who was the best host of Mystery Science Theater?
Yeah.
The answer is Mike.
Of course.
And the other is, who would win, the Star Wars universe or the Star Trek universe, if all the ships were fighting each other?
Oh, yeah.
And this has been going on and on forever. In fact, that's how friend of the show Aaron and friend of the show Ian became friends, was arguing about Star Wars on a Star Wars versus Star Trek on an internet forum.
I love how Aaron makes all of his friends through the internet and is just like great friends with them.
Yeah.
Aaron's got that down, man.
Yeah. No catfishing there.
No catfishing there. I did not get Teo'd.
But anyway, maybe he could just go balls to the wall and make a big Star Trek versus Star Wars ship battle.
Well,
that's what I would do.
There's just so many things that the possibilities are there. The thing that ties it in is that, I mean, Star Wars takes place in I think that's the problem, is that Star Wars takes place in long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. So Star Wars takes place in the historical past, whereas Star Trek takes place in the historical future.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's ways around that.
There are ways around it. You could totally Jetsons Flintstone it, and you could have the Star Trek ship crash land on a planet and find relic alien technology from the Star Wars era, like lightsabers.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody's mind
explodes. Now Data's a Jedi.
Yeah.
Deal with it. He's already actually, Data would make a great Jedi.
Data would make a great Jedi, but that is not in the new Star Wars movies.
Yet. Come on.
Star Wars, the next generation. the other thing that I don't think I've talked about this a lot on the show, but I'm a huge Lost fan, and like I'm a big J.J. Abrams fan. I think I'm obviously I know about Tagroato and Slusho, so I might be a little too much of a fan, but I really enjoy J.J. Abrams, and I think Lost is probably the best show. We're gonna get a lot of arguments on this because I know we got a lot of Breaking Bad, Mad Men, Game of Thrones fans, but I think that Lost is the best show of the decade, in my opinion. And
I think Lost was really stupid.
I loved it.
Yeah.
The thing I loved about Lost and the thing that I think that J.J. Abrams really captures in his movies and TV shows is that there's always something bigger happening. Like, there's always a bigger world than what the characters are living in, and the characters are interacting and they're trying to figure out their own lives, but there's always this bigger mystery that's involved. And that's something that I just, when I look at what he's done with Star Trek, and I look what he could possibly do with Star Wars in that respect, about maybe seeking out what is the Force, like what is the origin of the Force, and not midichlorians, but
yeah, midichlorians, yeah. Tiny bacteria,
obviously. But like, what is that bigger mystery that's wrapped around the Star Wars universe? I think that that's something that J.J. Abrams pulls off super well. So
the movie, like the plot is the steak in the filet mignon, and he's going to wrap some juicy bacon around
it. Oh, he's going to wrap that juicy bacon.
Okay.
You know, the other part about this is, and we talked about this last week, is that, you know, Zack Snyder's already developing a Seventh Samurai Jedi movie, and it may not be as big of a deal. I think that it'd be very interesting if Star Wars kind of becomes a James Bond-esque franchise, in that you get a new director for every movie, and they're able to kind of put their own flavor to it, but it lives within this mythos. This is J.J. Abrams. Yeah, and then next time, you know, it's Zack Snyder or whoever.
I think that would be a great thing to do with Star Wars, actually. I don't think we need another 3-movie story arc.
Right. We can explore different aspects of it. We can have fun ones. I'd love to see, I talked about it before, I'd love to see Joe Cornish or Edgar Wright do a Star Wars movie. It could get really fun. And I also think that we need to be a little cautious, because this was announced today, on the day that this podcast was recorded. And let's just remember back a few years when Guillermo del Toro was definitely directing The Hobbit. So this news really blew my mind, because it's pretty strange and crazy to have the Star Trek, the guy who owns Star Trek, now owning the Star Wars mythos.
Yeah, but I remember his name coming up in a list of potential directors, and he shot it down. Like, no, I'm doing Star Trek.
Right, you can't
but
do
I guess
both.
Now he's like, yeah, sure, I'll do both.
Yeah, I also would have just really liked to see what Joss Whedon did with it. And he did such a good job with the Avengers, which means he's in Disney's pocket. They love him. He made them $1 billion. he can obviously helm this type of franchise. And I would have just really loved to see if he could dig in and actually make Firefly in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah. Well, like you said, maybe they'll take it in kind of a James Bond-y way where they're not so interconnected necessarily from installment to installment. And then Joss Whedon can do one later.
Exactly. You know, that's what it sounds like. They're actually doing more of the Marvel model where you're going to have your standalone films with these characters in this mythos. And then you can bring them together for a tentpole film every, 5 years. But in the meantime, you're fleshing out these characters more individually. And I would love to see that with the Star Wars universe. I'm like, dude, burn me out. Burn me out, throw as many movies at me as you can until I'm completely sick of them, because I would just love to be able to just digest Star Wars for days.
Yeah, I'm just really excited to see a little bit of fresh air being breathed into the Star Wars franchise.
Yes.
You know, maybe it's not going to be perfect, and it's definitely not going to be what everyone wants, but at least it's different.
And it's new.
And it's new.
And it's not George Lucas. We love the guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you so much for giving us this, but please get away.
Step away from the camera.
Yes.
Just back up towards your giant pile of money.
Uh-huh.
And build that low-income housing on your ranch.
Do it. Nothing would make me happier. So, Jesse, do you have anything else to say about this?
No. I think it's cool and exciting. I'm not as big of a J.J. Abrams fan as you are, but yeah. I like Super 8 a lot.
Super 8 was good. I kind of got lost in the middle of it, but I liked how it captured kind of that childlike wonder that was captured so well by Steven Spielberg in the 80s.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Whatever. Jesse, what's your first topic?
Well, kind of apropos to what was introduced to our introduction,
mm-hmm.
I want to talk about a little bit of board game news. Eric.
Yes.
I don't know if you heard about this, but there is a Firefly board game in the works.
I did hear about this.
So Toy Vault Inc.
Right.
Obtained the license to basically all sorts of Firefly.
Right.
What would you call it? Manufacturing rights or something?
Yeah, they just got the exclusive rights to manufacture Firefly-themed games.
Yeah, so they say, let's see, I'm just trying to find it real quick. Toy Vault plans to launch multiple tabletop games,
mm-hmm.
decorative pillows, a line of collectible mini plushies of the entire Serenity crew, and more.
Okay.
So, I don't know. It sounds like they're just kind of hitting it with kind of a scattershot approach and just getting a bunch of merchandise out there. And I was reading some of the responses on their Facebook post announcing this. And one, Zachary Gaskin said, I think he spoke with wisdom, Jedi-like even.
Uh-huh.
He said, tread carefully in the board game realm. Realize you're marketing these to geeks by default. No mass market shelf nonsense. Also, if you're enlisting the help of a noted game designer, mentioning his name might help your cause.
This is really interesting to me because when it comes to properties and developing board games for known properties, there's one board game company that does that, and it's Fantasy Flight.
Right.
They did the Battlestar Galactica board game. They knocked it out of the park. They now have the exclusive rights to develop Star Wars board games. X-Wing, maybe not so great. I haven't played the collectible board game, or they also have a pen and paper RPG that they're releasing. And then they did StarCraft. They're the guys who make those property board games. And I read that what's this company called?
Toy Vault Inc.
Yeah, Toy Vault. Apparently, they're trying to open the miniature market, and trying to get, I guess, be kind of the U.S.'s Games Workshop. So that's kind of interesting, but I don't think that really lends itself to Firefly.
No, that doesn't translate to Firefly very well at all.
Yeah, there's no real epic wars happening, and no real space battles. Mostly just a character conflict.
Yeah. It's exactly the character conflict that makes you kind of think of the Battlestar Galactica board game.
Right.
And I don't, that would be kind of the model you would think to go off if you're doing a game like Firefly. What kind of stuff do you think this game could or should include?
Well, it's really tough. I mean, I think that it would be really compelling to do just a straight up smuggling board game that has, like, maybe has like Firefly flavor. But it'd be like an LCG smuggling board game where you have to go planet to planet and you're trying to beat other smugglers. And you can upgrade your ship and you can get crew on your ship that'll help you with certain aspects of the smuggling process. And I think something like that, something that's not like a direct ripoff of the story, but more using the mythos and the flavor in a way that fits the mythos and the flavor, not something that, you know, tries to, like I say, create like epic space battles in the Firefly universe.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good way to do it. I feel like it should be more of like a, you have a character, your character has these agendas, and you can, you're not sure who you can trust kind of a game.
Yeah.
Because that's what Firefly is all about. You got, you know, two people on the run from the law. You got one guy who's like kind of a thug and a killer, and he's out for himself. And then you have, you know, these other people with this loyalty to a dead rebellion, and you're never sure exactly where everyone stands.
Yeah, it might be cool to do like a Bang type of card game or something.
Right.
That's a lot more fleshed out, where you could each person has their own win condition, and you're trying to will the other people to your win condition while they're trying to get to their win condition.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty neato.
And you're constantly being threatened by the, what are they called? Are they called the Alliance?
I don't remember.
I can't remember off the top of my head. It's because I'm sick, damn it. I think they're called the Alliance.
Yeah. I think the main thing here is that, so Toy Vault bought these rights, and, you know, it's too early to judge, but I think that, like I said, that commenter had a very sound advice that you've now inherited a geek property, and this isn't creating those, you know, Twilight board games that you can buy at Target. This needs to be something that caters to nerd sensibilities, or else it's going to be the worst thing.
Yeah, because then you're going to get zero sales, because there's not exactly the broad appeal of people who are just going to pick it up because it's a Firefly board game.
Right.
And the nerds aren't going to buy it unless it's good.
Exactly.
So you can lose both ways if you don't play your cards right. Pardon the pun.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's exciting. I'm excited to see what they do with it, and hopefully it's
fun. Are you going to buy those plushies?
Oh, I'm totally. I already have them on pre-order.
I'm just going to buy 7 Jane plushies.
Yeah, I just love that there's also decorative pillows. That just makes me think that there's like going to be a body pillow of each of the crew.
I'm going to get a Shepherd Book body pillow.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm going for, is the Jane body pillow.
It's big.
It's big.
It's a big pillow.
It's got a beanie on the top. Comes with a beanie.
Yeah. I love it.
All right, J-Dog, you ready for some trivia?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. We are still doing Genus One, A Trivial Pursuit. We got to flesh this classic guy out before we can get to any new stuff. I'm going to roll a 6-sided die here, and I rolled a 5. Jesse, you know what that means. Science and Nature.
All right.
Haven't done that one in a while.
S&N.
S&N, baby.
S-S-S-N-N-N. That song was so bad. Anyway.
That song cracks me up. Plus, it's got a good beat. You can dance to it. Jesse, save it for loser karaoke.
Okay.
Okay. Jesse, this question is for you. What does the Greek geo denote?
Land.
I'm going to say earth.
Yeah, I didn't know if I wanted to say earth or land.
Should have said earth.
Damn it.
This question's for me. What bird can swim but can't fly? I'm going to say a penguin.
I'll say the blue-footed booby.
It's the penguin.
Jeez.
J-Dog, this question's for you. What did Lewis E. Waterman invent?
The watermelon?
I'm going to say the waterman. The fountain pen.
Oh, duh.
Classic Waterman fountain pen. So I already won, but this question's for me. Who was known as the Prince of Light? I'm going to say Thomas Alva Edison.
I'll say Thomas Kincaid.
It's Thomas Edison, but I think it's oh, that's the Master of Light. Thomas
Painter of Light.
Tommy Kincaid, baby. All righty. So now it's time for the second topic of the show. I won everything this week, Jesse. That means that you get to do loser karaoke.
That's not happening. That was a one-time thing.
Jesse, I'm going to have to say a song that I know you can't help but sing.
Oh, and that's Better Alive.
That's the Firefly theme song.
Oh, okay. Well, why not?
All right.
Take my life, take my land. Take me where you cannot stand. I don't know if that's the words. I don't care if I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. The end.
That was excellent, dude.
Uh-huh.
That's a bravo moment. Oh, wow. I think that was winner karaoke, in my opinion.
Hey-o.
All right, now it's time for the second topic of the show. This one was also sent in by our trusty listeners, and it's about another movie property that I'm very excited about. It's the Guardians of the Galaxy, which is a new Marvel property that's going to be, I think, coming out in 2014 or 2015?
Mm-hmm.
2014. Guardians of the Galaxy, it's about a crack team of dudes fighting against Thanos, because everybody knows Thanos is going to be the villain in Avengers 2. But they're trying to figure out the casting of this right now. There's a bunch of dudes I haven't heard about, like Cam Gignett, Chris Lowell, and Wes Bentley. They're all up for the lead role.
Wes Bentley?
Wes Bentley, baby.
That's a stripper name if I ever heard one.
Wes Bentley as the dirty cop.
Stage 2, Wes Bentley.
apparently, they're all up for Peter Quill, who is also known as Star-Lord. He is the protagonist and the leader of the Guardians of the Galaxy. But there's some...
Star-Lord.
There's some rumors that are going around.
The most pretentious superhero name ever.
I think Jeez. It's awesome.
You don't want to tone it down a little bit? Really? Star-Lord?
Yeah, Star-Lord.
I don't see any problem with that name. Just maybe a little much? A little curious?
Yeah,
well, I am the Lord of Stars. I'm not sure stars can even be owned in any way.
Stars can be owned. You can buy them and name them after your grandma.
Those are not officially recognized by NASA.
They're officially recognized by the Star Buying Council.
The Council for Selling Sucker Stars.
The CFSSS. So anyway, they're up for Star-Lord. There's also been floating around the guy who played Chuck, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. There's a bunch of people who have been floating around for the Star-Lord thing.
That's some range.
It's a rangy role. But it also seems like they're going to try to do plenty of comedy. It's going to be directed by James Gunn, who did Super. He did Slither. He did. He wrote the original Scooby-Doo movie. So it'll be interesting. But they're also talking about casting some of the other roles, and apparently both Jim Carrey and Adam Sandler have been inquired as to their availability to be a part of this film. And
yeah, this is going to be a disaster.
Well, I think that when you look at these two actors, obviously they're larger than life, but it sounds like there would be more suited to voice actor roles, because there is Rocket Raccoon, who's a part of this, who is a raccoon in a spacesuit.
Mm-hmm.
So he is probably not going to be played by a guy in a costume. If he is, it should be Jim Carrey, because he did so well with the Grinch.
Right.
And then there's also Groot, who is a tree man, and he is presumably also going to be CGI. I think.
I don't need celebrity voice actors.
Okay.
Just get a normal voice actor.
Yeah.
And by the way, what's the chance that Adam Sandler is actually a better voice actor than the other person who just does voice acting? Slim to none.
Adam Sandler.
I don't need it. It's distracting. Because it's like, you can't think of it as actually Rocky Raccoon. It's just Adam Sandler. And they always feel the need to make the character kind of look like the celebrity voice talent.
Yeah.
And that's super distracting.
Well, there's a couple. You know, Adam Sandler's done plenty of voice acting. He did 8 Crazy Nights, which he voiced all of the characters in.
Yeah.
And he also just was in Hotel Transylvania. He played the Dracula character, reprising his famous role from the mid-90s.
I'm not saying he hasn't done it.
Right.
Well, that's just saying maybe he shouldn't do it.
There's this new movie coming out this summer. It's an animated film, and it's called The Croods, and it's about like cavemen.
Uh-huh.
It's from the creators of Ice Age, which make me think that it's just a continuation of the Ice Age story.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah.
The ads for that.
One of the things that's off-putting about this movie too is that Nicolas Cage is the voice of the main caveman.
Right.
So, and Nicolas Cage, not known for voice acting, pretty much known for just showing up for whatever movie he's cast in, and being Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
So, like you say, celebrity voice acting.
I don't need it.
I don't need it, man.
I just don't need it. Unless it's Patton. Actually, still. Hamill's the only one.
Mark Hamill is the only one. Mark Hamill is pretty much a voice actor at this point.
Yeah, it's true. Although he has a new movie coming out, I guess.
Oh, great. Can't wait.
Yeah.
But there is some interesting thing here. So this was released by Latino Review. I want to make sure I got this right. Latino Review. And they've actually gotten like every spoilery thing about these new Marvel movies correct. So
really?
Yeah. They're
What's their inside man?
I don't know.
I guess it's the Latina Review.
Yes. I don't know. But apparently this is good. But this is good info. But I was reading in the comment section. This is interesting, Jesse, because you brought up a commenter. I want to bring up a commenter.
Okay.
And this is from In the Shadow, who has the top comment on the site. It says, "Can someone please explain to me just how Adam Sandler managed to become so big, because I really don't get it whatsoever."
So it's the 90s thing.
This is a moment of my life where I realized I am now old.
Yeah, it's just you had to be there.
You really did.
You just had to be there for Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore.
And this is the thing about Adam Sandler. Yes, he makes the worst movies now. He makes, like, he just had that movie, I don't remember what it's called. He was like some guy's like stepdad. And it's just like the worst movie I've ever seen.
Oh, that's my boy?
That's my boy.
I wanted to bring this up because some guy from work brought in the DVD for that. It's been like making the rounds.
Uh-huh.
Like the people at work have been watching it and they all love it. Everyone loves it.
I think that it could just harkens back. His humor harkens back to a simpler time.
I think that's probably it. Cause like, my boss, his favorite movie is Dumb and Dumber.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's just like that kind of 90s bonehead comedy.
Yeah. Dumb and Dumber, Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore are two great movies.
Yeah, fantastic.
Fantastic.
American classics.
When those came out, I was the target demographic. I was like 12 years old, and I ate that shit like oatmeal with maple syrup in it. It was it was deliciously hilarious. It was just like, and that's it. I mean, it's kind of the carryover. I feel like Adam Sandler is the Chevy Chase of our generation in that now everybody hates him, but we have a very fond memory of him because we remember him on SNL, and then we remember his first movies, and we love seeing him carry through, but now everybody just thinks he's annoying.
Soon, Adam Sandler will be the star talent on an underrated network yes. show.
Yeah.
And ends up being like a huge hassle to work with, and everyone ends up hating him.
The other thing is, like, his production company, Happy Madison Productions, produced Grandma's Boy, which is a great
movie. Which I liked.
It's a movie that is like the greatest movie for nerds. It's a movie about video game testers. Living with
Except
your grandma.
It's not realistic to video game testing at all.
I don't care. That's what it's about. Plus, it's got Jonah Hill when he was like super huge, which I always think is really interesting to see him. Because, like, you know, he's kind of a big guy in Superbad. But this, he had like his super huge phase. And if you look at him, he's got cameo appearances in Grandma's Boy and in 40-Year-Old Virgin where he is super huge.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I like him. I think he's the bigger he is, the funnier he is.
Yeah, just like Chris Farley.
Just like Chris Farley.
Like what happened to him.
Just,
living the high life in heaven.
Can't live the high life any higher than heaven.
Yep.
So anyway, I just found that so interesting because I'm like, of course everybody knows why Adam Sandler got to be big because Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore were gigantic movies.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he didn't strike out there. I mean, like, I really liked, you know, Big Daddy. He had a series of movies. Mr. Deeds is, like, wacky and funny.
Big Daddy was good. I think it kind of went off the rails around, like, Little Nicky.
Yeah, Little Nicky was, that was where everybody was like, I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, and that wasn't even that bad of a movie. It's just, like,
yeah,
it was just weird. It was a weird concept.
Yeah, not to mention Adam Sandler in his dramas is amazing.
Right.
Like, Punch Drunk Love, amazing movie. Rain Over Me, amazing movie. So, I don't know. It's great. But that's the top comment on the site, so it just made me feel super old because apparently people don't remember why Adam Sandler's famous. And he's actually famous for a reason. Yes, his movies are stupid, but they filled a gap in that late 90s era when the late 90s were crazy, guys. You had NSYNC. You had Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm.
You had Dave Matthews. Everybody loved Dave Matthews in the mid-90s.
The thing is, that comment was probably written by like a 50-year-old guy. Oh. He was too old for the crest of Adam.
Yeah. It's so interesting, all of these things. Not Adam Sandler, please, no, don't do it. Adam Sandler, no, X Infinity knows. it's the fart jokes in his films. Everybody clearly loves toilet humor. That one was written by a 50-year-old. I don't know. It makes me a little sad, but it makes me feel old. But it also makes me feel proud that I know why Adam Sandler is funny, and. That it'll always hold that special place in my 12-year-old in the 12-year-old section of my heart of the funny simpler times that we lived in those late roaring 90s.
Yep. Well, Eric, speaking of voiceover work, for my topic, I want to I'm going to open up my file cabinet here.
Okie doke.
And peer through the files alphabetically. Mm-hmm. X. There's a Z. Went too far. Oh, here it is. W. The WTF file.
Excellent.
So the man.
The WTF files are right next to the X files.
Yeah. Oh my God! Sequel. Spin off. I mean.
Yeah.
It's like the X files, but weirder. Anyway. This week's WTF files, the man who is a boy was the voice actor for Charlie Brown in the Peanuts television specials in the 1960s is scheduled to be arraigned today on felony charges that include stalking.
Oof.
And he's charged with 12 counts of making criminal threats and stalking his ex-girlfriend, according to the San Diego District Attorney's Office.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
I just, like, why is everybody always picking on him?
I did see a really funny tweet. It was like, Charlie Brown got arrested. The voice of Charlie Brown got arrested today. The cop was saying, wah, 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 wah.
Yeah, it's weird. On one hand, I was like, man, it sucks for this guy. He's probably just trying to lead a normal life. And he did this, like, as a kid. He made these movies.
Well,
so
yeah,
now,
but he's
like,
also stalking ladies.
Him.
I mean, it's not really a normal life of stalking people.
Well, your normal might not be other people's normal. Maybe I'm defending this kind of behavior a little too much.
I think
but
you might
just
be.
Just playing devil's advocate
okay.
here.
You know, that's the thing, is that it's interesting because there's all this stuff going around about the voice of Elmo right now, too.
Right.
And for the voice of Elmo, like, that guy is Elmo. Like, he created Elmo as a character, and anybody who's seen Being Elmo the documentary cried while hearing his story.
I heard that there are, like, 6 people that do Elmo, though.
Yeah, but he created Elmo as a character.
Like, yeah, okay, I see. He's, like, Elmo 1.
Right, he's Elmo 1.
And backup Elmos.
And so it's sad because I feel like that really reflects on Elmo and kind of tarnishes Sesame Street in general.
Mm-hmm.
But this...
He created the character, Charlie Brown.
Yeah, he created it. See, that's the thing, is that Charlie Brown is not, for me, he's always first a comic strip, like a Sunday morning comic strip.
Right.
And
yeah,
not
same.
And his voice is his voice. And that's coming from someone who played Linus in It's a Good Man, Charlie Brown in 5th grade.
Wow, strong words.
Strong words from a strong Linus.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just bizarre.
Yeah, but then again, it's not that bizarre.
It's pretty bizarre, man.
Yeah, I don't.
Do you think he's set for life, like, from making those movies? Do you think, like, that's a, like, a life?
It's a kickback.
Money.
Did
like,
it say
mailbox money?
Did it say how old he is?
I think 56 or something.
Wow.
Yeah, 56.
And he did this as a child.
In the 60s.
Wow. Yeah, I bet you they didn't have contracts like they do now. That's the thing. Yeah, like you say, I mean, he's just a guy, and he got into trouble for doing some stuff, allegedly.
Yeah.
But now it's blown up because he's the voice of Charlie Brown.
Yeah, so that sucks. But apparently he embraced the whole Charlie Brown thing, and he has like Charlie Brown on his Facebook page in like as his middle name, and he'll like chat to Peanuts fans.
Well,
so asking for it a little bit.
Yeah, I think Drew Carey also has a picture of Charlie Brown as his Facebook page.
That's just Drew Carey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I always get him mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the WTF file, man.
Yeah, case closed on that one.
File that one away.
File that one under WTF. That's the other part of the spinoff show.
Okay.
They just kind of open it up and read the file, and they're like, what the fuck? And then close the file.
It's like TMZ. Like, it's a bunch of, like, hipsters sitting around in a room. WTF file.
I've never actually seen that show.
I've seen a spoof of it on SNL, so I feel like I've seen it. we want to move on. We do some recommendations, but before we do, I want to recognize all the people who have been rating and reviewing us on iTunes. We got a lot of rating reviews lately. We love it when you do that. It really makes us warm and fuzzy inside. So I just want to recognize some people. Tony S2 says, these guys are awesome. I feel like I've known them for years and would definitely eat them last if we were stuck on a deserted island. Was this review helpful? Yes.
Yes.
Very, very entertaining from Who is Moses? Found this podcast by listening to The Watching Dead, who recommended The Because Show, who recommended this podcast. All are great. I am addicted. Can't wait for more. Thanks for the Bald Move shout-outs there. Adrini said, you two are very funny. Love the geekiness. Much love from Detroit. We got John O.B., we got The Because Show. Hey, The Because Show, that sounds familiar. We also got T.J. Hawk. He said that he didn't get his freak tote. We did have our rate drive back in the day. We did promise totes. The totes are still in a development phase. We're trying to find waterproofing material that is adequate for the Seattle weather, but we'll keep you posted, TJ. Just a lot of good rate and reviews. We love when you do that, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
And then I want to do a quick Facebook rundown. Every week we post on our Facebook page, ask us if there's anything you want us to gab about, and you hit us up big time. Apparently, new shows like The Boondocks are going to be on Netflix. Jesse, your thoughts?
Yeah, that's awesome. Apparently, it'll be a lot of Adult Swim shows, which everyone knows I'm hopelessly addicted to. And if Venture Brothers, oh man,
yeah.
If the Venture Brothers was on Netflix, I would poop my pants so hard I flew to the moon.
Excellent. Also, Jacob Jones Martinez says, "Have we played Bang?" Yes, we played Bang. We love Gang. We love Bang.
Whoa,
we love Gangs. We're a big fan of Gangs, and we're a big fan of Bang. Bang is a card game. We mentioned it earlier in the Firefly talk, but it's basically you're a bunch of spaghetti Western cowboys around the table, and each person has their own victory condition, and you're trying to kill each other. It's really fun. He does say recommend checking it out. I would recommend checking it out too, but only the starter set. I do not recommend the expansions. I think it drags the game out too long and it makes it not snappy, which is the opposite of what you want from a gunslinging card game. Right. He says, also, I know you're a professional brewer, but have either of you homebrewed, beginner here looking to get started? Jesse, how should this guy get started homebrewing?
Just start with some basic extract recipes that you can do in a 5-gallon pot on your stove and be extra careful with sanitization.
Is there a book that he should get or something?
Oh, yeah. There's a complete Joy of Homebrewing by Papazian. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like the brewer's Bible. But I actually learned just by like talking to people and reading stuff off the internet and watching some videos and stuff. So you don't necessarily need it.
Yeah, and start cheap. Don't buy the most expensive stuff.
Yeah, definitely start cheap. Don't get ahead of yourself.
Right.
Take it step by step. You'll want to have a few brews under your belt before you start upgrading your equipment.
Yeah, and the other thing, like I have a friend whose dad is starting a homebrew, and he's like already promising beer for people, and it's like you need to understand that your first few batches probably aren't going to be that great.
Yeah, my first batch was actually pretty good. My first batch was my best batch for a while, which kind of bummed me out.
Yeah, actually. That is bummer because you think you're going to get better every time.
Yeah, exactly. Huh. But my first one was quite good. I made an Irish nut brown ale.
Yeah.
Which is kind of an easy one to make. The thing is I like upped the difficulty and didn't quite execute it as well as I could have.
Wow.
I also learned a lot in those first few brews.
Yeah, it's a learning experience. You're continually learning.
Right.
And then, Jesse, this one's for you. How did you decide on the name of your daughter? We had names picked out for years but changed when the name actually is attached to a person. And he says that that's from James Patterson. He says, I played your board game advice for my group and they found it hilarious. Well, thank you, James. And Jesse, how did you name your daughter?
Well, at first, Tasha and I had kind of different ideas. I liked like the Greek names. I liked right. Athena and I had a couple ones picked out. And then
I remember Calypso.
Calypso, maybe. Yeah, threw a lot out there.
Calypso is a good name.
We ended up kind of settling on like a certain consonant cluster, like L names, like Ellen, Eleanor, Elsie, Ellie, that kind of thing. And then when we came to Elsa, we really liked that. So it just was natural.
Did you have the name picked out before you had her, or did you look at her and say that's an Elsa?
We had it picked out already, and then it was confirmed
that's
when
good.
She was born.
Well, that's interesting because apparently my parents were going to name me Aaron up until I came out. And
really?
Then I came out of my mom, and they said, that's not an Aaron, that's an Eric.
Funny, that's bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Elsa was an Elsa, so it worked out well.
Well, that's good. And that's all of our Facebook stuff. We did get some new friends this week. Aaron Martinez, Mark Calabio, Josephus Hallett, Jacob DeFore. We got a bunch of likes this week. Thank you so much for liking our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook, and we're also under the Bald Move Facebook. Can't forget John Dominic, Alex Cannell, Jacob Jones Martinez, Eduardo Solis Mata. Thank you so much for liking us on Facebook. And there's other ways you can get in touch with us. You can, of course, go to the Bald Move page. You go to baldmove.com. You can give us a call, leave us a voicemail, 360-362-0024, or you can write us an email at personalarrogance@gmail.com. Jesse, what's your first recommendation?
My first recommendation is a show that I watch. It's on Netflix, and it's a History Channel production. It's called Ancient X-Files.
Okay.
So I had to watch
this,
it.
So this is the WTF Files.
Yeah, it actually is the WTF Files.
Yeah.
I had to watch it because I was like, oh, geez, more of this ancient aliens, blah, blah, blah. I was curious, so I watched an episode, and then I realized it's actually basically the old In Search of History show, and they're trying to sneak in real history under the guise of, like, ancient aliens, ancient X-Files, all this stuff. But there's actually good, interesting history there.
So it's everything the History Channel shouldn't be, but should be at the same time.
Yeah, it's what it should be disguised as the bubblegum garbage that people like.
Excellent.
Like ancient aliens.
Okie doke. Yeah. And then my first recommendation this week is going to be Guitar Center. This is an interesting recommendation for me because I used to hate Guitar Center. I went in there. The last time I went to Guitar Center, I went in to buy a capo for my guitar, which is like a little clamp that you put on the neck of your guitar that raises the key. And I go in there, and I've bought this capo numerous times before, and I go in and I ask for this capo. It's like $7. And there was like this 16-year-old girl behind the counter, and she was like, you know, when I'm playing guitar, I really like to play with this capo, which is like twice the price, because it's like, wait, it clamps really better? And I'm just like, I have played guitar since you were like 5 years old. I know the capo I want. I didn't say this to her. This is all internal. And then from that moment on, I was like, because you know, they work on commission and it's very obvious, right, and all this stuff. But I went to buy this mixer today and the customer service was awesome. It was top notch. Not to mention, I called them on the phone. I had to talk to them on the phone, the customer service on the phone. They were also very nice. They asked me how my day was. This dude was like, I have ice baby stuck in my head. They were like real people. So Guitar Center, you won me over. In my moment of needing a new mixer. So I'm going to recommend Guitar Center for now.
Excellent. Yeah, you're on watch, though.
Yes. What's your second recommendation, Jada?
Okay. I'll tell you in a second, but I do want to share a quick anecdote that I just remembered from Ancient X-Files.
Okay.
Which was, so they're basically trying to find the labyrinth of the Minotaur, you know?
Oh, okay.
And that, like, Theseus Slade or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they're on the island. I can't remember.
Right.
Anyway. Minos. I guess.
Okay.
They're looking for the labyrinth. Mm-hmm. And they find this, like, underground cave system that was carved out in ancient times. And when you went in there, there was a wall with a bunch of names carved on it from, like, modern times.
Right.
Of people who had been there, including, like, a French spy. And they're like, but someone else has also been there. And they pan out and there's like crudely drawn swastikas.
Oh, really?
And they're like, the Nazis were here. And I was like, okay, so if the Nazis were everywhere, that I've seen a crudely drawn swastika, they would be in the ferry bathroom.
Right.
They would be in the public library. They would be everywhere. But then it turned out the Nazis actually were there. So for my segmentation, I have another television show I've been enjoying. I've been watching this on Hulu Plus.
Okay.
And that show is Catfish. Have you seen this, Eric?
Is that the movie?
No, it's a TV show, an MTV show.
Oh, what is it?
So apparently catfish is a term for someone who pretends to be someone else on the internet.
Right, because there's a movie called Catfish, which came out a little while ago.
Right, yeah, it's that same guy.
Right, okay.
So he's doing like a TV series now.
Uh-huh.
And so basically they find someone who's on an online relationship and wants to meet the person, and then they do a little bit of investigating and try and figure out if the person's real or not, and then go and confront them.
Right.
And it's kind of interesting. It's almost, it's a little To Catch a Predator-y. It's a little Cheaters.
Well, that was the whole thing about the movie Catfish, was that it was supposed to be a documentary, but it seemed really scripted. And it seemed like everybody was like a bad actor.
Huh.
So either the guy is super ingenuine seeming, or it might just, this might just be a scripted show too.
Well, it seems all right.
All right.
I haven't really gotten any red flags or anything.
Okay. And it's interesting, the whole thing with Monty Teo and like the whole thing's coming up with him from Notre Dame. Maybe he's just on this show. And this is viral marketing.
No, he's a executive producer.
Oh, okay.
This whole scandal of his was to drum up interest in the show.
Right. It's all viral marketing.
Yeah.
And then my second recommendation this week is going to be the Limited Resources Podcast. If you're into magic cards, and I know you are, you should listen to this podcast. It's really interesting right now because we're starting the Gate Crash release, which is the new edition of Magic that's coming out in the next couple weeks. And so they're going to help you get all the information you need to build your best deck when you're drafting or doing a sealed competition, or if you're just trying to build your limited deck. It's going to be good if you listen to this podcast. And do it if you're
into that. I'll have to listen to that.
I find it very enlightening. And they like kind of talk about little combat tricks and stuff that'll be really fun. Last week they had a rules judge on there who really broke this down.
Awesome. Because there are some weird rules in Magic that I need clarified.
There are. You know, like one of the things that you were asking me is like Death Touch.
Uh-huh.
How does that work? Or First Strike, how does that work? Because I have a First Strike Death Touch deck. But actually, if you have First Strike or Double Strike on a creature, it actually creates two combat phases. So the combat phase happens, and then there's another combat phase that happens after that combat phase.
Wow.
So if you kill someone in the first combat phase, then the second combat phase doesn't happen. And that's how it works. Welcome to the rules game.
Okay. Okay, so like if you had a Double Strike lifelink, you would only get lifelink from the first hit because they're dead by the second combat.
Well, unless it didn't kill them. Like if you have a 1/1 lifelink, then you would get 2 life.
Right,
as long as it doesn't die
if you had
in the
like
first
a
combat
a,
phase.
If you had like a 4/4 lifelink double strike and you hit like a 1/1 guy, you would only get 4 lifelink.
You should. I don't know about lifelink. I just, whatever.
This is endlessly fascinating.
It is endlessly fascinating, and I know that everyone loves magic. So, next week, 100% magic cards.
They've already turned off the show anyway.
And then I also want to give one more shout out. Christopher Hannigan wrote in. He had a recommendation. The Adam Savage Project. It's the guy from MythBusters, Adam Savage, who should have been a candidate for Ginger of the Year, maybe next year.
Yeah, maybe.
Thought of your show a few months back when you were talking about tools. Might be something you guys would like. And he also likes our old theme song, which we played in last week's show. And we love you, Christopher. So thank you for listening.
Indeed.
Anything else?
No, sir.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening this week. We're sorry we're a day late, but we have a new mixer, and it's very fancy. So we're very excited about that. And we like to remind you that wherever you go,
and whatever you do,
please stay
arrogant.